Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 203. It's the week of October 29th, week of Halloween, 2014. Thanks for coming along. I'm coming at you from Ashland, Virginia, the center of the universe, Central Virginia. Ashland is located pretty much between Richmond, Virginia, and Fredericksburg, the Northern Virginia, pretty much right on I-95. Matter of fact, it's exit 92 if you ever cruise up and down Interstate 95 through Central Virginia. And if you're a new listener, I appreciate you coming along. The name of this episode is Ultra Marathon Prep. And so I might have gotten some new listeners who Googled that or searched that term. This podcast might have come up. If you are a new listener, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Thanks for downloading it and trying it out. I am a ordinary, middle-of-the-pack nobody, and that's how I approach races in my training, and I don't take myself too seriously, and I try to have fun with half marathons, marathons, and beyond in Virginia and surrounding states is where I usually run. I have run over 20 marathons, just about half of those being ultra distance. And I've never won anything, and I don't ever anticipate winning anything, perhaps except maybe last place. So that's where I come from. If you're a returning listener, I would like to thank you for coming back for episode 203. I've been doing the podcast now. I think I was listening to an old episode trying to find some information that I had recorded one time, and I think I started it back in 2008. If I'm not mistaken. So I've been doing the podcast for several years now and met lots of people all over the world, some in person and some via email. And it's been pretty cool. I've interviewed some people through the years that have done some pretty extraordinary things, and which really does inspire me. What I'm going to talk about in this show, this is going to be my last show before I go down and do the Croatan 24 Ultra Marathon on November 8th. And that's at Croatan National Forest in North Carolina. I guess about a 4 to 5 hour drive from here. And I'm prepping for that. My training has peaked, so I am now in quote taper mode, which I don't really have a whole lot of belief in the whole taper mode. I just kind of do it like this. For example, last week I did 50 miles, which I'll talk about here in a few minutes. This week my hope was to do 30. However, I'm not really going to worry about it too much. I'll do a long run on the weekend, and then I'm pretty much going to cut it all off and let everything heal up as much as possible within a week. I don't think I'll lose any endurance. But obviously, I'm prepping now mentally, and I've already physically prepared, but now I'm kind of mentally preparing with checklists of supplies, equipment, what do I need to do to get ready? I have a whole lot of anxiety, which I've always had. This will be my goal is for 50 miles in this 24-hour race. It's a timed race. However, I'm not planning to go 24. I'm hoping to do 12 hours and trying to get 50 miles in that 12 hours. It's going to be hard. I have done two other 50-milers and 100K. The first 50-miler I did, I ran 12:48, and that was a hilly course, and I just about burned the bottoms of my feet off. I've talked about that before. That was a very, very memorable experience. How can you ever forget that? Especially when the guy in the medical tent said, "Holy shit, I've never seen that before," when I took my socks off. So that was a little bit of a worry. I thought I was going to be getting skin grafts from my backside. The second 50-miler was, I think, 2 years after that, which was the Keys Ultra. Ran from Marathon Key to Key West on Route 1. And that was probably one of the coolest things I've ever done. That was a 10 a.m. start, and I finished that in 11 hours and 52 minutes. So I finished just before 10 p.m., so only ran just a few hours in the dark. And then the 100K was just a couple years ago when I ran from in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, Nags Head, to Cape Hatteras, and I did that in 15 hours, 15 minutes, something like that. So, and I did realize that the 100K distance is pretty much one that breaks me physically. I didn't get broken mentally, but I was practically broken physically, And I think that's just too far from my body for me to go out and actually feel like I'm accomplishing something. Because my goal now is to actually be somewhat functional after the race and not so beat up where, you know, I just have to be waited on. That's kind of a promise I made to my wife. So the 50-mile distance was something that I was interested in doing again to see if – oh, and the Keys Ultra, was, of course, was all flat, but it was in the blazing sun. God, it was hot. So this race in North Carolina is on a pine straw, real packed down sand trail. It's a 2.23-mile loop, which I think I figured out I have to do 22 times to clear 50 miles. And so I'm looking at give or take, because it's obviously going to be over 50 if I make it. So the 12-hour mark is kind of a loose goal. I would like to make that, but it doesn't really get recorded anywhere because the only thing that gets recorded is how many miles you do in 24 hours. And my plan as I prepare for this is really to not stay overnight. It's to drive back that night real late. And I have the captain of my crew is John Snuggs. We call him Snuggy Bear. If you've listened to the show, you've heard me talk about him in the before. He's the crew of one, so he's the captain of himself. And he's going to take care of me while we're down there. He's done it before. I completely trust him. I completely trust his judgment. He's done numerous marathons. He's in the 50 States Club. He's done several ultras. I've been on some road trips with him and seen him do some pretty remarkable stuff. As a matter of fact, I think one of the cool hardest thing he's ever done. I have to check in with him again, but a couple of years actually it was the same because I was on crutches. It was I think a month after I ran, no, not quite a month, maybe 2 weeks after I ran the North Face 50 miler up in Northern Virginia. I went with him and some other guys in a minivan to the Hatfield McCoy Marathon, which he ran in the morning. We went up the day before. And then we got in the car, drove 8 miles, eight hours west of Paducah, Kentucky. And then he did a 10-hour timed race where he then did 50K. So in essence, I think he did two marathons in a day for the most part. And he, at that point, he joined Marathon Maniacs. It was pretty crazy. So he's accomplished, in my opinion. Again, he's a middle-of-the-pack guy, maybe a little bit more of the front-of-the-pack guy. And so I completely trust him, and I'm looking forward to making the trip down there. I guarantee he'll know people down there through his connections in Marathon Maniacs and the 50 States Club, because everywhere we go, he seems to know people. Which means I'll get to know some people too, which is really cool. Marathon, ultra marathon prep. I'm going to share some things on my checklist. It won't be boring. I promise, because there's probably some funny stories with some of the stuff on this list that I'll share. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the, like, I just got my Clip 2 in the mail, so I used that for my 20 miler last. Was it last weekend? Yeah, I had a monster weekend, which I'll talk about. And so my theme is, as I'm preparing, is that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And what that means to me is, I do this distance running as a hobby. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I was taking the elevator at work the other day. The building I work in has a basement and then a first floor and a second floor. And if I can help it, I don't use the steps going up. I'll use steps going down, but I don't use steps going up. And people make fun of me for that because they know I run, and they say, oh, I can't believe you're taking the elevator. I'll take it just for one floor. And the reason I do that is, first of all, there's no air in the staircases. So I don't know what it is about me or what, but you get in that staircase and the oxygen level just seems to be pretty low, and you come out the door and, you know, I'm panting. And so that's one reason. The other reason is I have stairs at home. I got stairs in my front porch. I've got a staircase in my house, which I would actually like to count how many times I'm up and down those stairs during the course of my time at home. I would venture to say 10 to 20. I have never counted it before, but that's just going to be an estimate. And I don't think I'm going to get any more benefit at work from going upstairs. Matter of fact, I think if you just go up some stairs, I don't think there's any benefit at work to doing a just going up one flight of stairs and then go sitting at your desk for 30 minutes. And then an hour later, you get up and go up and down a flight of stairs and then you go sit at your desk for another 30 minutes. I don't think you're getting any physical benefit out of that. I think if you get your heart rate up and you're constantly going up and down the stairs, then I think there's some benefit from that. So I just dismiss these people and I just say, oh, I've got stairs at home. My legs hurt today, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a lot of these folks don't get it anyway. So I just make a joke out of it. And I'm not really sure why I started going out on that tangent. But you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And so I like this distance running thing. And it's something I enjoy doing. It's a hobby. It's very liberating for me. I think one of the main reasons I like it is, one, I'm good at it, which means I finish. I mean, I don't fail. I don't win, but I don't lose either, if you know what I mean. I feel like I'm winning inside. So in that aspect, I feel like I'm good at it. I mean, I can finish an ultra marathon. I can enjoy the camaraderie with the other people. And to me, that's, you know, that's intrinsically rewarding. I guess that's, you know, quote, winning. So I'm good at it. I like it. It's uncomfortable, but you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I guess in reflecting on that, what I'm thinking is, yeah, you know, you start chafing, your feet are hurting, but you're out there, you know, you're at 26 miles, you're at 30 miles, you're getting closer to your goal. You're comfortable in the fact that you're getting close to your goal. Of course, you're hurting, but that's part of the sport. And I read somewhere this theme, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I just thought it was kind of a cool mantra. And I think I might adopt that for the 50 miler. I'm not sure. I need to write down some ideas. And I think what I might do is maybe come up with a theme for each loop that I can focus my brain on for 25 to 35 minutes that's going to take me to do 2.23 miles, depending on where I am in the race, or longer. That idea is actually stolen from a good friend from my first marathon named Greta. She is a religious oriented person, kind of in all aspects, I guess. And I guess we all are to an extent, but I don't really I don't really use religion in the podcast. But what she did was that for each mile, she had 26 miles of praises. And what she meant by that, and as I remember seeing her in the race, because she passed me when I was around mile 20 or something, for each mile, she had a different theme, and she had them written down or in a paper in a bag or something where she could refer to it and it didn't get destroyed with sweat or moisture. So each mile she had, her mind was kind of focused on something, a positive praise, whether it was health or something in her life. You know, I she didn't really share each one with me, but she had 26 different subjects. So I'm thinking of that a little bit. I think I could probably come up with some stuff that I could at least take my brain back to thinking about when I'm kind of getting to that point of being uncomfortable, because an iPod or music or a podcast or whatever you listen to when you're out there or even talking with other people does not always get you there, because then that's stuff you're making up on the spot. Whereas if this is a little bit of a prep, I can bring these out there, these ideas. Kind of just thinking out loud on this right now, but so that's some of the prep work that I've been doing, just mentally. Just thinking about how I'm going to accomplish this, hopefully by 8 o'clock. The race starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on November 8th, and then hopefully by 8 o'clock that night I'll have cleared 50 miles. God, I hope so. I don't know if my preparation, physical preparation, has been what needs to be done, but I'll review that here shortly. But I cleared another 50-mile week last week, and that's right at my breaking point. I've talked about this before where the 50 miles in 7 days really starts putting some stress on my body, where I'm hurting when I get up in the morning. I'm hurting getting in and out of the car. Just imagine opening the car door and I just kind of pour myself in and just slump right on the seat. And then when I get out, it's brutal. That's the result of a 50-mile week where you just kind of plop down everywhere, and it really shouldn't be like that, but I know it's short-lived, and that's why I wonder if I could actually go farther without doing damage to my body. You know, everybody has a limit. I wish I was one of these folks that could do 70, 75, 80 miles a week and then, you know, sign up for a 100-miler and try to go out there and do it. But I think my issue is that I might injure myself during the training period to a point where I can't even make it to the start line. And I guess that's what I kind of fear. And I certainly don't ever want to get to that situation. Maybe one day I'll push myself again to beyond 50, but I don't know. And that's not what this particular show is about. So I want to try to keep that thought out. But here, this was some of the logistics of running 50 miles for me. If you're a listener to the show and you haven't ever done an ultra marathon, you've maybe just done halves or 10Ks or full marathons, and even your mileage never got up to that point because it's not really necessary just to finish a marathon. I did it in 5 mile increments during the week, and then. So what I did was I ran, in other words, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this past week, I ran, and Sunday is part of my running week. So the running week starts on a Monday and ends on a Sunday for me. I ran 40 miles Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And because I only got 2 5-milers in during the course of the week because I was just busy at work and I'm doing my runs after work. But I was on call starting Friday, which meant I come in at 2 o'clock, work 2 to 10, and then I'm on call for the overnight hours. And then I'm actually doing that this week, too, but I don't need to get the runs in. So since I needed Ashlyn Tom to help me get through that 20-miler, but I was worried that being called out to work might threaten that for Saturday, I swapped it to Friday. And I got up really early on Friday morning and did my 20 miles. Tom came out for a good chunk of that. I did, I think, 13 and then hooked up with him and did 7 with him. And then I got up Saturday morning, which I didn't get called in, so I was able to get out there and did, actually did 10 and a half. And then got up Sunday and did 9 and a half to make it 40 for the weekend. And then the 2 5-milers earlier in the week made it 50. And boy, was I glad when that was over. I did 50 miles 2 weeks ago, and then prior to that, I did numerous 40-mile weeks with some drop downs, and you know, every other one was a drop down week. And I know I haven't done enough in looking at some of the training plans. I don't have the time. It was a little disappointing. I'm trying not to dwell on that. I'm focusing mostly on my successful 20-mile. Long runs, which felt good, relatively strong. One was in the rain. One I gave up on the previous podcast. I think I talked about giving up at 20 when I should have gone to 25. So what I did on this last week is that's why I did consecutive 10-mile, you know, 10 and a half, 9 and a half, those round 10. You know, 3 full days of a 20-miler, a 10-miler, a 10-miler. I mean, that's a beating on the body, at least at my ability level, which is what I usually look, you know, that's my perspective, my ability level. I don't compare myself to other golfers, which, anybody ever seen Caddyshack? The guy says, how do you compare yourself to other golfers? He's like, by height. I don't really compare myself to other runners because my ability level is really my own. It's specific to me. You know, obviously I look at how I place in race results, but, you know, everybody comes to an ultra marathon from a different perspective. Everybody's got different problems, different issues that came up in the training, you know, different gifts, physical ability, you know, whatever gifts you have with your physical ability. Everybody's a little bit different. That's why I kind of like the, you know, these marathons. It puts everybody on the same playing field, but everybody's a little bit different. So I don't, you know, 50 miles in a week for me is huge. That's it's really a big deal in my house for me to get that done. So I'm going into the ultra with the confidence knowing that I can run on tired legs several days in a row. I can get to 20 miles. I can then, you know, get up and do another 10, get up and do another 10. And what that prepares me for is just to run on really just tired legs. And believe me, it's hard to do 10 miles after you've done 30. And I know it's going to hurt anyway on race day, so there's only so much training I can do because I know it's going to hurt. So I think I'm going in with decent amount of mileage to finish. Obviously, won't be able to run the whole thing. I never have. I'm not sure what intervals I'll do. What I've been training at is run a mile, walk a tenth, run a mile, walk a tenth. Or I guess what it turns into, it's run a mile, walk a tenth, run 0.9, walk a tenth, run 0.9, walk a tenth, because my Garmin beeps at the mile mark. That's probably what I'm going to do as long as possible. And then I can change it because, you know, I'm the one in control. And I'll talk with John Snuggs about that, and we'll come up with some different ideas. I probably ought to meet with him at some point. So, yeah, that's I ordered the Clip 2 powdered drink from Succeed, and I did that at both 20 milers. That worked really good. And I found, I think I already realized, I also talked about how honey buns are really good for me because they give a lot of sugar. But the Clip 2 is, if you never heard of that, it's a real good product for me. It's designed for long runs, 50 miles or more, and or events that last longer than 6 hours. And what it has is some real easily digested carbohydrate for muscle fuel during the event. And it's got branched chain amino acids protein to preserve the muscle in your body, your legs. It's got some terminology here I don't exactly know, but I'll share it. Medium chain triglyceride to provide energy from fat and stabilize the digestive tract, and then electrolytes to replace those lost in sweat. The best thing about it is that it is not it's not sweetened to the point where you're going to just keep putting all this fructose or sucrose, whatever that sweetener is in Gatorade, just keep putting that in your stomach, which eventually will rebel. And I've used the Clip 2, that's CLIP2, if you search that and then Succeed, it's the same company that does S-Caps, if you're familiar with that. I'll be taking that during the course of the event. It's worked for me before. I used a similar product down in the Keys, and that was what I consumed during the whole event. And never, actually, I did have an upset stomach at one point in time, but that was late in the race, late in the race. And I think it was from, I'm not sure what it was from. Maybe it was from Gatorade. I don't really remember. Maybe that's good. But I do remember that I also used the Succeed product during the Graveyard 100K, I finished that race. That stuff was tough, you know, to drink for 15 hours. But it was what I consumed. I think I had water mixed in there too. And then there was some, at one point in time, Ashland Tom gave me some stuff called Pump, which was kind of like a chalky milk substance. I'm not really sure. Maybe it was more like a White Russian that he did. So then I'm going to use that. I got the Carb Boom Vanilla Orange gel packets, and there'll be food there. So I'm not going to be packing my own food. I know from previous events that Brandon Wilson from the company RaceNC.com, he will have serious food there. That's no doubt. So I'm not worried about real food. So I'm not worried about bringing that kind of stuff down. Let me talk a little bit about my checklist. What I do is I keep a notebook of whenever I do like camping or have a trip or something, I make a list of the stuff I need to bring. And so this is the checklist from 2013 when I ran the Charlotte Ultra, which was a 50K. I think that race has been discontinued, which is a huge disappointment. Okay, so I'm just going to go through this list a little bit, and if something strikes me funny, I'll talk about it. 2 pairs of shoes, 3 pairs of socks, baby powder, Vaseline, Body Glide, Nip Guards, Garmin, iPods, duct tapes for taping of the feet, water bottles, goo, I'm not sure what that is, S-caps, digital recorder, hat, sunglasses, Stuffits. If you never heard of Stuffits before, I had a pair of those. I eventually had to throw them away because they weren't really absorbent anymore after about 2 years. It's these little things that look like feet, but they're connected with a nylon cord, and it's cedar chips inside. You put them in your shoes after your run, and they absorb the moisture and the odor, because I had a serious odor problem with when I used to run in Asics. What I do now is when I'm done with my run, I immediately take the insoles out and let the shoes air out, because usually it's been where I've had to get rid of the shoes before the mileage before they have too much mileage on them, because just they stink so bad. Watch, shorts, shirts, jacket, cell phone and charger, Boost. That's something I just remembered. I probably need to damn it, I didn't train with that. Ugh. If you never had Boost, Boost is what old people drink for vitamins and minerals. But it's also a great liquid to take during an ultra marathon. It kind of helps you with that feeling, that hungry feeling in your stomach, you know, and it fills it up and it's digested pretty easily because it's liquid, and it's helped me in the past. The only time I ever had trouble with Boost is when I made the mistake of consuming, I think, one too many down at the Outer Banks Marathon, and at the finish line, a little off to the side, of course, people were still could still see me. I was vomiting up brown stuff, which because I had chocolate Boost, which I was a bad thing. Peanut bars, towels, flip flops, gloves, my folding stool. Folding stool is kind of hard to get off. What I use for that is what I recommend. This is what I've done. That's why I got this little folding stool. Is whenever I've done long runs where I've had to drive to it, and for the Charlotte Ultra, I had to drive to this. The folding stool is nice to sit on at the back of your car, take your shoes and socks off before you put on some sandals, and it's something to sit on. It's better than it's sitting on the tailgate of your truck or is a little too high off the ground and you got to pull your feet up to you. Anyway, maybe that's not so good. Plastic bin for drop area, gear bag for drop area, plastic bag for all wet stuff. Yeah, this is what I started doing. I put everything in a plastic bin that's see-through. That way my crew can easily see the stuff. They're not going through. The gear bag is for clean stuff. The plastic bin is for supplies, whether it's Band-Aids, goo, Vaseline, like consumables kind of thing. The gear bag is for dry clothing. And then I have a plastic bag that all my wet stuff goes into that gets changed out. That way it doesn't mix with the dry stuff. And I just worry about it mildewing and all that crap later. That way it's just all in one bag, and your crew person knows that all the wet stuff goes in there. I got it on here, pistol. Yeah, I take a gun everywhere I go. FYI. Not when I'm running, but I got other weapons when I'm running. Eyeglasses, I guess sunglasses, dry shirt and shorts for after the race, and then the most important thing is wipes. And the reason for the wipes is a clean ass is a happy ass. And one of the worst things I've encountered in a training run is making a run to the woods and then having that not so fresh feeling for the next hour or half hour or however long it takes you to get home and get yourself cleaned up. So that's my checklist. I'll be adding to that. I gotta load up my iPod with some good music and some podcasts and some stuff to listen to for when I'm not talking with folks. The race I'm doing is a 2.23 mile loop. It's not certified because Brandon had to change the location at the request of the Forest Service. It was a shame, but it'll still work out, I'm sure. And so I think I have to do 22 loops of that. But during the course of that, obviously, there will be people that will be passing me, coming up with me, walking with me, encouraging me. I'll be doing the same thing to other people. And at least I hope I'm be able to do that. I hope I can encourage others. And I expect other people to encourage me. And one of the things about ultra running is you're kind of expected to do that in this sport. You know, you're all out there beating yourselves to death just about. Nobody's out there doing a 10K. Everybody's out there in the same mindset trying to accomplish a certain amount of miles. And, you know, regardless of where you come from and your background or where you live or what kind of job you have or your family situation or whatever, you really all have for this one particular time interval, you have this weird thing in common. And I think it's kind of a neat thing. I'm not sure why I think that's so neat, but I like that. And there are going to be some elite runners down there. Connie Gardner is going to be one of the female elite runners down there. She's holds some serious ultra marathon distance records. I met her 2 years ago when I worked the finish line at the Graveyard 100. So that is marathon prep. I have got a couple emails, so we'll get to the email bag here in a second. I can't think of anything else to pass along other than I've got anxiety sitting here thinking about it. I can't believe it's just over a week away. when I first signed up for this, I got a complimentary entry, which I was very happy to get. That's why I'm not concerned about stretching it out for the full 24 hours. I don't think I'm ready for that type of event yet. I've only done an 8-hour timed race where I was able to get 50K in. And so not knowing there's a finish line is going to be somewhat of a different experience for me. I've only done one other timed race. So I guess the finish line is the distance, the finish line is the time, not the distance. But then my finish line is not necessarily 12 hours. Obviously there's other things I need to ponder. I'll do that internally, and my next show will have the results from that, and then we'll transition into the Richmond Marathon. Oh, one last thing. I haven't committed to the Richmond Marathon, but if for some reason this ultra is a total wash, meaning it's just some kind of monsoon comes through the Carolina coast that weekend, and it's a total downer, and the whole course is muddy and a mess, and it's just a joke, then the Richmond Marathon is going to be my fall race, and I'm going to end up paying the $100 or $120, whatever it is, to sign up at the last minute. And I'm going to go ahead and run that, much to the dismay of my wife, who's doing the half marathon, and she wanted me to be a spectator for her this year. But she understands that you need, I've done all this training, and I want to do some kind of marathon this fall. Hopefully it's the ultra. So I could go on to another tangent with those kind of thoughts, which is really what the podcast is for, but I'm going to go ahead and get to the email bag section of the show. All right, let's see who checked in this week. They're from Jamie Delaney. Actually, this was a self-initiated email because I want her to send me the link to her podcast. She has got a new podcast. She's been listening to this show for a long time, and so I'm happy to promote her podcast. And it's a unique podcast. It's a plant-based wellness podcast. I've linked to it at ashlanddave.podbean.com in previous shows. But if you just search Jamie Delaney, it's J-A-M-I Delaney, M-D, plant-based wellness podcast, you'll find it. She's got a couple episodes up now. She's a distance runner, and she's actually a remarkable triathlete as well. So I encourage you to check out her podcast at Jamie Delaney, M-D, plant-based wellness podcast. Check that out. She's improving things as she goes. She's making her show better as she learns different tricks of the trade. And I'm happy to have her as a listener. Heard from Glenn, who is a new listener. He had actually emailed me last time, but I asked him how he found the show. And he's from the United Kingdom. He says he runs a podcast app called Beyond Pod on his phone. And he searched for running podcasts, and after trying a few shows, he found mine. He says he listens to a show over in the UK called Marathon Talk, which he recommends. Glenn says, you were talking about your inner strength on this week's show. I think what gives me strength doing a marathon when I'm in pain is the achievement. As a 44-year-old postman of 22 years, father of twin 13-year-old daughters and husband, life is good, but I'm not a go-getter high flyer type, and I don't get much to brag about or for my girls to be impressed by. So when I cross the finish line of a marathon, it shows them that even though I'm a regular dad, this is really good. There's a bit of life in this old dog yet. Thanks, Dave. Look forward to the next show. P.S. I'm an Arsenal fan. Do you have an English team? What he's referring to is the English Premier League. And I usually listen to Manchester United or watch them because they usually play on the NBC Sports Channel here, and then I can watch the other ones online. I do like following Everton as well because of their American goalkeeper, and I had an email conversation with Glenn about that. But let me just mention something here. This is really weird because Glenn's place in life is almost identical to mine. We're almost exactly the same age. He's been in his line of work 22 years. I've been in my line of work 22 years. I have a 13-year-old daughter. He's got twin 13-year-old daughters. He's married. I'm married. He likes English Premier League and soccer. I like English Premier League soccer, and he likes distance running. That's a really weird coincidences. Glenn, nice to hear from you. And, Brad Fried is about 74. right, good to hear from you, man. I'm glad you listened to the show. I look forward to future bantering back and forth with you. I heard from Tim Clearly, also known as Abuelo Runs. He says, your last podcast, you were commiserating about your ultra shoelaces being so long since they became a nuisance. He suggested trying putting the loops under one or two of the laces halfway down the tongue. You won't have to double knot them, and the loops won't flop during the run. He says he learned that about 5 years standing in a corral before a race. He's never had anything come loose or untied during a run since then. And then after the race, they're easy to untie. Good luck on the 12-hour. No doubt you'll surpass 50 miles. And he just did a full marathon. He did a half and a full called the Sphinx in Greenville, South Carolina. And that would have been last week or just a few days ago. So, Tim, you know what's funny about your tip? I've actually done that before, but it was many years ago, and I completely forgot about doing it. So, and I'm not trying to minimize your tip because it's a great tip, but I had some Montrail shoes that I bought on a clearance rack just for some clean shoes to have to wear, and the laces were so long I had to do that. But what's funny is that those shoes kind of got forgotten in my closet because they're orange and gray. they're kind of tacky. But you're absolutely right. That is the best thing to do. And after I got your email, I started doing that with the Ultras, and I've had no problems at all, and they untie real quick. So thank you so much for doing that, and always good to hear from you. Hope you did well in your marathon. Heard from Keith, and I don't know where Keith is from. I think he's checked in before because he says he never misses the show, and I don't have that database of everybody's email like I promised, so I don't know. I forgot where Keith is from, but he says, Dave, never miss your show. I'm reminded of one of Dr. Sheehan's quotes. Quote, it's very hard at the beginning to understand that the whole idea is not to beat the other runners. Eventually you learn that the competition is against the little voice inside you that wants to quit, unquote. And Keith, fully agree with that. And as I said in my email to you, I could probably do a whole show reflecting on that. That is really where the battle is. It's in your brain. And that's never failed me. I've always had that brain, the battle in my brain, because I'm not up at the front where I'm battling another person. So, which is what these guys do. They're battling the other person and they're battling their body. Do they want to win that day? Well, you know, I'm not going to be up at the front. So, yeah, my battle is the voice inside me that wants to quit. And overcoming that voice, the self-preservation voice, that's difficult to do. And I appreciate you passing along that quote. I really do. And heard from Dr. Smitty. And we had a great time at the Patrick Henry Half when he was up here. He said it was just perfect having beers the night before, talking the entire race. He said the Patrick Henry Half was much more enjoyable than the race is running as fast as I can. He is very complimentary of the Ashland running community and is thankful for being made an honorary Ashland American too. However, he is declining to pay any more taxes. Well, Greg, all I'm really asking is for you to pay the extra property tax that I got to pay here. Anyway, he's got a 24-hour run for cancer coming up in April, and he's going for 50 miles, but he said he'd be lying if he didn't say that 100 miles is in the back of his head. Yeah, lots of training to be done. He got a new car. He got a Tesla Effect, I think is what he got, and he said the acceleration is so fast that most people say it feels like a roller coaster. Yeah, watch out for those speed traps. And he asked about the Seashore Nature Trail 50K in December. He's training for that. That's down his way. I have not done that for several years. In fact, the first year was 2009. I got a magnet on the fridge for the inaugural year, and I have not been back to run that. Although every year it comes around, and I don't have the excuse this year because I'm not going to be on call in December, which is usually my excuse. And I think I know Ash and Tom will be down there for that, and I think he said it's the week before Christmas, so it's possible, Greg. I don't know. Part of me really wants to take some time off after this ultra because it's been beating me down so bad, and I say that every year, so we'll see. But anyway, good to hear from you, and we will talk soon about something. I'll figure out a way to get you up here for the Ashland Railroad runs right around the corner too. In April. Hopefully it's not the same weekend as your 24-hour run for cancer, because then you'd be breaking your streak of running the the Ashland Railroad run 10K and almost winning. I mean, you placed in your age group, I think, first last year, and then did the Center of the Universe Challenge. All right, well, that's the podcast for this week. Got one out, I think, almost within 2 weeks of the last one. Really like to get one out every other week to keep the regular listeners informed of what's going on in the Center of the Universe. And that's my cue to close out the show. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the Center of the Universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and y'all have a great week.